kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, everybody?
God damn you.
All right.
Okay, so Tim's here. Yeah, this is the SML podcast. Tim's making fun of me. Cole's not here yet. She's going to be here later on in the show.
Yay! But,
I know, she's finally back. Aren't you excited?
I am.
And
I
you am won't be here for
gone
it.
For, like, what, 3 weeks?
But we got some backup hanging out with us for a Wrasslecast. Big Adam Chase and Matt Pye are here. How are you two doing?
Hello. Yeah, considering we just finished Dynamite, I am on a whole new level, my friend.
Yeah, that was Dynamite. Awesome. We are fresh off of Dynamite. We all saw Shaq go through two tables.
With a man on him. With a man
with Cody
on
Rhodes
his face.
On his belly. Cody's hip. Landed in his belly, and then he vanished from the ambulance.
He vanished.
God, they didn't follow up on that yet. That's awesome that they did not follow up on that in the same night. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He was dead. He didn't move. He was dead.
He was dead.
Is he just going to show up at NBA All-Star Weekend and be like, what happened to you in the ambulance? I don't know.
Papa John's.
Yeah. Fucking incredible.
So yeah, Wrasslecast, we have a pay-per-view coming up this weekend. AEW Revolution 2021 is happening. Big card, lot of stacked matches. Yeah. This card is ridiculous with how many people they are cramming into it, how many surprises and twists and stipulations are on this. Let's start off with the pre-show. They're going to have a tag team match between Riho and Thunder Rosa against Dr. Britt Baker and Rebel, or Reba, whatever you want to call her.
Whichever one it is this week.
Yeah.
Where do you guys see this match going?
Well, like I said earlier, I feel like I see Rebel getting pinned or submitted, and that is the match.
Yeah, I mean, you have
two wrestlers and one wrestler on one team. And so I've
Reba's wrestling has a wrestling history, but she's not super active in this roster.
We have a former champion.
Right.
Two former champions on one team.
Right.
And a wrestler and a half on the other team. So
I think you're right. I think Reba's going to take the fall, and I think that might start the division between Britt and Reba.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Sowing the seeds of discord.
I'm thinking they're gonna start doing big storylines for the women's side of things.
God, I hope so. I'm so tired of it being like one thing at a time, and them only getting one match on Dynamite, usually at 9:22.
Big agree.
With exceptions.
But yeah, the tournament's been good. The tournament's been amazing.
Yeah. I just wish they'd put more of it on, like, I wish they'd feature more of it on Dynamite.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's all.
That's fair.
Well, we'll have the women on the pre-show leading up to the actual pay-per-view, which has 8 matches. We're going to go in Wikipedia order, except for match number 6, which is supposedly Omega and Moxley.
Yeah, so we know that's last.
we know that's match number 1, but we'll go in reverse order. Number 8 is the Casino Tag Team Battle Royale. For a future AEW World Tag Team Championship match, and it's got basically the entire tag team division.
Yep.
Where do you see it going?
Oh, you already know where my heart lies with this. I want to see them Bear Boys take this one. I want to see Bear Country come out on top. Them big, burly, beefy boys. I want it. I want all of it.
Big, meaty men.
God, they're big, so meaty. They are just so meat slappy. I love it. I just want all of it.
It's tough to say because this will, you know, it's a for a championship match, but it's, you know, not going to be at a pay-per-view. It's going to be on a Dynamite. So anybody could really win. So yeah, that's what really I like about this
one. It feels like anybody really could win this. It doesn't seem like there's a far and away leader that is.
Yeah, there's no smart mark answer to this question. I really honestly don't think so. I really don't.
For the sake of making a pick, I think I will pick Death Triangle. Phoenix.
That's where I was leading, just because they added them.
That is rock solid.
Either that or a surprise team.
Yeah, they still have TBA on there, so they love their surprises on the pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
I love their surprises on the pay-per-views as well.
Tell me how many times we've gotten debuts inside of a casino royale of whatever variety. It's how we got Brian Cage, you know what I mean?
What if Santana and Ortiz win, become champs, and have to beat, like, I don't know. I mean, if MJF and Chris Jericho become the tag champs, that'd be funny.
Oh, God, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, but we'll get there.
I don't know.
Another tag match that's happening before then is Miro and Kip Sabian taking on Best Friends, Chuck Taylor, and Orange Cassidy. I think the Best Friends have to win this one.
They need to.
This has to be a face win. Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, what shenanigans are going to allow that to happen? Because Miro.
Oh, they're going to do some kind of goofy shit. Right. They're going to do some kind of goofy shit.
I think he's still on the shelf, though. I guess you never know.
Could do a spot, maybe.
Show up and hit someone with a chair.
Hmm.
Like the Gun Club assaulting Shaq tonight.
man, what a spot that was.
Yeah, I guess Kip seems like the most likely guy to get pinned in this match. But I don't know. I feel like you want to start having Miro really kill people here pretty soon.
See, that's why this match is so really actually hard to call.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like
Best Friends.
Yeah, for sure.
They didn't really, you know, they haven't really done too much with him yet. And Tony was given kind of the reasoning in that, like, well, he showed up in August and started wrestling in September. So he didn't really have much of a record to build him for matches. But I feel like he is kind of destined to, I guess if Kenny Omega retains, I feel like he's on a collision course with Darby at some point to really wreck his day.
Oh, and kind of hold that belt for a while as a heel.
I can see that. Yeah. So, but I mean, he also, you know, you could just have him take a tag loss here and bounce back and just start wrecking people on Dynamite.
See, that's the thing. If Miro takes an L here, it's not a singles record L. Yeah. So he still stands strong.
I don't
strong
think he takes Chuck the pin, L.
No.
Right. Having Kip take the pin, you know, saves Miro for sure.
This could also split off Miro from Kip and Penelope.
Could be a little, you know,
but Miro on his own path,
right? If Kip takes the L, the Miro I'm the best man, Kip caused him a loss, he can't roll with that, you know. That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Miro unleashed.
No, in kayfabe, nobody wants that. As a fan, everyone wants that.
Oh, man. Well, Tim, you mentioned Darby. They're looking for a new challenger for Darby Allin. They're going to have a Face of the Revolution ladder match for a future AEW TNT championship match. So far, the contestants are Cody Rhodes, Scorpio Sky, Penta El Zero, Lance Archer, Max Caster, and the always infamous TBA.
TBA.
I think TBA's got this one on lock.
Yeah,
I think you're right. If it's one of the known faces or one of the known talents, I should say,
or Cody,
I'd like to see Scorpio Sky take this. I think you're right. I definitely think TBA, whoever that's going to be, is going to walk away with this win.
Who do you think TBA is?
Oh, God, I could go down that road for 2 hours and I wouldn't be right about most of them.
I mean, we have two TBAs, well, multiple TBAs. You have a possible TBA in the tag battle.
When do we want to talk about the announcement?
We'll get to that in a second. But yeah,
we can talk about that. And
that's separate from that. I was going to say, you know, TBA notwithstanding, I was going to pick Penta to win this match. Just going Penta's all in on Death Triangle here tonight.
Yeah, Penta's a strong choice, man. I mean, he's brutal. Yeah.
I would rather see him going after Omega, though.
He might, I guess. I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I'd rather see Penta in the world title picture, but that's...
Oh.
That's a,
Archer or Cody Rhodes. I'm good. Just not them.
Not the not choices. I feel like Max Caster is definitely not winning unless it's like some mine accident.
Now, I don't see him winning that, I don't see him being the face of the Revolution. I do agree. I do think Max Caster's crazy good. I just think he's also crazy green.
And crazy.
Well, that's also true.
Yeah, it's cool that he's getting the spot in this match.
I'm not going to lie, I love the guy's diss tracks. I think they're getting better and better.
Pretty good.
I could do without the hand licking, though.
That's a little weird. That's true. You're not wrong.
Yeah. So you mentioned another big surprise. We have a lot of surprises on this episode. Paul White, AEW signee, Paul White, Tall Paul.
No more BS.
The large display of fun.
The giant event.
Yeah, giant event. Says that he has more news on another new signing for AEW that is supposedly Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah, not a Hall of Famer, so...
Not already in.
Yeah, they can't be in the Hall of Fame, but they're Hall of Fame worthy.
But, and I quote, it's not who you think it is.
Yeah. So it's not so CM Punk.
CM Punk confirmed.
I would shit myself if CM Punk was announced for AEW. I would lose.
That would probably be your favorite day of wrestling ever in your life, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I would be thrilled if he came back.
I don't think I don't think there's a fucking chance in hell that'll ever happen.
No, not at all.
Oh man, my mind has gone 1,000 different places in the last hour since we've known this. And I really just don't know. I don't know. So, I don't know who it could be. Hall of Fame worthy. See, that's like you said, that's the kicker.
Laparca.
That's what makes it hard. Laparca. Good
grief. Okay. So, man, I've been trying to figure out like who is a free agent right now, and maybe you don't know. But they're not in the Hall of Fame yet.
Right.
But maybe they would presumably wrestle a match. So, I don't know. Rob Van Dam?
Dude, I thought about that earlier, and I was like, I don't even know if I should say this out loud because
it's so
insane.
He was just on Impact last year.
Was he still able to go after it?
As much as, you know, he's not as springy as he used to be, but
he's still RVD.
Age is real.
He's still RVD. Right. He's 50. Jeez.
I would still watch him.
Now, yeah, no, never mind, because Hall of Fame, never mind.
Who are you going to say?
I was going to say Matt Cardona, maybe.
Oh, jeez.
No,
he's with Impact.
He doesn't qualify, though. Yeah, but is he, though, right? You know?
I'm pretty sure he's with Impact now.
Did he long-term sign with them? Okay.
Ooh. So you were mentioning the Dudley Boys earlier. They are in the Impact Hall of Fame, if that counts.
Oh, man. Bubba
it's
Ray.
Like, I feel
Bubba
like...
Bubba Ray would be crazy.
I feel like Christian would have been a good choice, but he's been hanging around WWE lately.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he's signed, but it feels like he would.
No, he's got something coming up with Edge for sure.
Somebody who's not signed is a certain Mr. Brock Lesnar.
True. That would be...
yeah, but
we've joked about that before, but that would be insane if it happened.
That seems unlikely.
Steve Blackman.
Yes.
Oh, my gravy. I am in. Who'd you say before? Tatanka? God, yes.
So, I got nothing. The whole Hall of Fame worthy thing is...
Who was saying Coco Beware?
My heart still,
Dave said that.
My heart still set on who was it? Oh, now I forgot. Oh, D'Lo Brown. There it is.
D'Lo Brown.
He's an announcer for Impact.
Yeah, but maybe he'll become a wrestler for AEW. Oh, maybe. Joe. Things happen. Maybe.
Anything can happen in wrestling.
Okay. You know who's not in Hall of Fame? Who is Hall of Fame worthy? Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, dude, my God.
Definitely The Rock.
If he showed up while also owning the XFL dead to rights, Vince McMahon would explode. He would literally combust.
Why are people attacking me?
So at the end of the day, we have no fucking clue.
Yeah, we have no idea.
It's going to be interesting.
We know that it's definitely not CM Punk, though. Yeah.
Unless it is
the first name you think of. Unless that's the double cross, the double swerve.
Yeah, so that's Big Show. Large display.
Tall Paul.
Tall Paul. Yeah, unless he really swerved us with his first on mic experience with AEW. It could be the case, though. You never know.
Yeah. I did appreciate that he was like, no one saw this turn coming, did they?
Yeah, right? I still can't believe he came out with a shirt that said, no more BS. If you're not following along, no more Big Show. And that is incredible.
They could have had a better design. It looks so generic.
It could have been block letters, black and white, Arial Comic font. Sans. The fact that it existed is amazing to me. Put it on a giant billboard of a human, and people saw it. I promise you that.
Very true. Moving on, big money match is going down between Adam Page and Matt Hardy, where the winner receives the loser's first quarter earnings for 2021. Where's this going?
Now that Hangman has another W from Dynamite, his purse got a little bigger for Q1. Pockets are a little deeper, so he's got more money on the line.
It's got to go to Adam Page. I was saying this, I don't remember if I said this to Adam or Joe last night, but Matt Hardy's about to have a kid. I think it'd be funny for him to lose the match and then be like, oh, I gotta go on paternity leave for the first quarter of 2021.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, retroactive.
Yeah, and just be like, oh, where's all, you know, just don't make any money.
Show up for bits and nothing else.
Yeah. Oh, I think that would be really funny.
That would be good. And that's Matt Hardy level Carney stuff. That's it fits.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's like Adam Page, you know, should win on a wrestling level of like, you know, Matt Hardy's the older dude. Adam Page has got to be rebuilding himself as a singles competitor. But also, I feel like a loss of money has a much more significant effect on big money Matt Hardy. Like that will make him flip his wig. Whereas if like Adam lost his earnings, he'd be like, whatever.
Right.
At the end of the day, grab a bottle of
Jack Daniels and carry on.
Yeah. It's more fun from a character standpoint if Big Money Matt loses out on big money.
We all know that from, what, 3, 4, maybe even 5 weeks of BTE in the beginning of the pandemic, Hangman just lived in the woods. He's capable of going with no money.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, you see Dark Order get involved, some Dark Order. If anyone's left standing after Big Matt keeps taking him out.
That's fair. He does keep abusing humans.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's good at that.
Yeah.
H2 going to show up?
They could. Yeah, I mean, they seem to be making money.
Are they in the tag team championship battle royal?
They're not listed, no.
Hmm.
So they could be TBA or they could just be thrown out there. This could be the spot on the card where they show up.
Yeah, they might show up during this.
I mean, Jack Evans definitely interfered tonight.
Yeah. I like them having something to do.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah.
Big agree.
As long as Angelico keeps dancing, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
All right. There is an AEW Women's World Championship match between Hikaru Shida, the champion, and Ryu Mizunami. Where do you see this going?
I mean, I assume Hikaru Shida will retain her champion.
Yeah, I feel like Shida wins again.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Shida retains for sure.
Though I think it's
going to be a hell of a match, though.
Yeah, they did put on a hell of a tournament to get us a fresh challenger.
Yep.
Somebody, you know,
That was a great finals on
the tournament tonight. Final was incredible.
Mm-hmm. It was so good.
Really
glad it's not Nyla Rose again.
Not that I haven't
had great matches, but
it's just almost every pay per view is Nyla Rose versus Hikaru Shida, like straight up.
They've been limited. Yeah, so that's kind of what they got out of this is they were able to bring in someone from Japan to headline a pay-per-view, and hopefully she'll stick around for a little bit.
Who else was on that plane, right, Adam?
That's what I want to know. I'm telling you.
We want Ito-chan.
I want to know. Ito-chan. Yeah, come on, Ito-chan. I know you're
the deity of shit.
Just get on that plane. You'll make billions in America. I promise you, so many idiots that'll buy all of your crap.
I can't wait.
Yeah, right. Tim's got his wallet in his hands.
I know. I'm ready to go. Ito Respect Army.
Yeah.
Now, something else people can't wait for is the most anticipated match in AEW history. They've only been building it for 3 months nonstop. It's Team Taz, Brian Cage, and Ricky Starks with Taz taking on Darby Allin and Sting.
It's Sting. Sting or Darby have to win this. They have to.
Yeah. Feels like.
If they don't, the entire thing with Sting is a waste.
Yeah.
I think Sting takes the pin.
You do?
I think Sting loses.
Yeah.
Dude, that, I think that completely annihilates his
momentum. What do you think this is? WWE?
I'm going out on a lark. I'm going to be the weird one and say that I think Sting gets the loss here.
Triple H shows up and just pins him? I don't know.
That's the Hall of Fame worthy guy.
Yeah.
Is he signed? Shows up with just holding a turnbuckle saying, remember me.
My God. We cracked it. Amazing.
Son of a bitch. The signs were there all along.
Yeah. How did we never see it coming?
I don't know. I think after Sting took that power bomb, it shows that he's willing to take some bumps. I think he's going to take the L.
Okay. All right.
We'll see what happens. I could be completely wrong. It could be Sting coming out on top with Ricky Starks in the Stinger Scorpion Deathlock and him tapping out. And
maybe. Could be Sting setting somebody up and then Darby jumping off of something very high.
Yeah.
Backwards for no good reason. And
he's
then
he's going to cough and drop off of a fucking space shuttle. He's a fucking lunatic.
Darby starts the match in orbit, jumps out of the ISS.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like an anime where Sting just keeps being like, in 30 seconds, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's got a skateboard duct taped to his feet.
Blazing from re-entry.
Oh my God. That'd be just the things they could do with Elon Musk. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Don't give him any ideas.
It would be nice if Team Taz wasn't kind of a joke for a while, but I still think they're going to lose.
I know, we'll see.
I kind of love that his whole squad is all these tiny dudes. I mean, they got Will Hobbs. He's big. I'm glad they got a tall person at some point. You know what I mean? Like, Ricky Starks is awesome, but he's tiny. And Brian Cage is tiny for being a big guy. He's not tall.
Yeah.
He's just jacked. They're all little
tiny dudes.
That's why I think Layla Hirsch would be perfect for Team Taz.
Yeah.
I you said that the other week, and ever since you've said that I agree 100%. I don't know why that they haven't pulled the trigger on that. It makes so much sense.
Let's get enough of change to Team Taz to the Lollipop Guild. We're in business, bud.
Oh, Jesus. Another tag team championship match going down between the Young Bucks, and this time they are taking on the Inner Circle, Chris Jericho and MJF with Wardlow. I think the Bucks have to win, and I think it's going to be because of Sammy.
I disagree. I think Chris Jericho and MJF are going to take this.
Yeah.
I see a mini dynasty happening with them real quick.
Hmm.
Do you think the Good Brothers are going to fuck it up for?
Something's going to happen that fucks them over.
There's a lot that could go on in this match.
There's so many things that have their fingers in this match specifically.
I don't even think about Sammy showing up. I would love that. That'd be awesome.
I feel like the Sammy showing up could be the thing. Or it was all a big swerve and Sammy's still in the Inner Circle the whole time. Or, I don't know, MJF blows the match and causes more discord in the Inner Circle, or they win the match and then thereafter cause more discord in the Inner Circle.
Who was saying they wanted to see Wardlow be the cause of the loss? I remember someone saying that. You, all
right. I was saying that if they did lose, I'd want it to be because of Wardlow, because I want to see Wardlow cause some kind of strife to break off of MJF. I think he's probably going to be an awesome talent. I just need him to do something. Yeah.
Beautiful, handsome man.
Yeah, right? Johnny loves him. That's all I know.
Yeah, the 18 to 24 female demo god Wardlow.
Oh my
god. Apparently apparently that is actually a thing, is that like female rating demos pop when Wardlow is on the screen.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah, I think they talked about that on his Unrestricted.
Didn't know that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it never works.
I think the Bucks retain, but I could see it going either way.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Inner Circle won. I just think the Bucks are going to keep it and go into a program with the Good Brothers with champs versus champs.
Most of the time, I'm not shocked with any direction the AEW chooses to take, because they make it function. They have an idea for it. It's not just like, oh, shocking thing. And then it's like, oh, what do we do, you know, for the next Dynamite? No, right. It's like usually they have a plan in place of like where they're headed, at least vaguely. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
But that all leads to the main event, which is an exploding barbed wire death match for the AEW World Championship between champion Kenny Omega, with that sleazeball Don Callis in his corner, taking on John Moxley, or a Moxley. Who wins?
Oh, man. This match is going to be something.
Does Kenny keep the title and lead into a program with Impact, or does Mox get the belt back and regain his belonging that was taken from him with a mic to the head?
I think that Kenny's going to win. Not just because John Moxley is probably going to spend some time being a daddy, but you know, I feel like this is kind of putting the stamp on Kenny Omega's reign. Like, it is a fucking exploding barbed wire death match. You know, this is his chance to beat Moxley at his own game. You know, because he lost the last unsanctioned match, though that does not appear on the record books. But, you know, this seals him as the champion. I think they want to keep him as champion for a while yet. And, you know, John Moxley was champion for most of last year and had tons of great matches and beat like everybody on the roster. So I think you need Kenny as champion just for the fresh matchups, if nothing else.
Makes sense.
I think Kenny is going to retain via TBA run-in.
Yeah.
A TBA run-in?
Yep.
Which TBA? Because there were like four of them tonight.
Oh, I think there's going to be plenty that evening. Don't you worry.
So is this a new mysterious TBA?
Oh, I honestly have no idea. I think Kenny's going to retain. I do think it's going to be a run-in somehow. I don't think he's going to win clean, because I don't think they're going to do John like that. But I think he could retain.
I think he could win clean in this match. Like, because like the match is dirty unto itself. So well, that's fair. Yeah. Like, so I think there could still be interference, certainly, but it's not going to be like, oh, you hit him with the microphone sort of deal. It's going to be like, okay,
yeah, right.
There was explosions and barbed wire and you won the match, and maybe it was in kind of a mildly shady way, but it was an exploding barbed wire death match. So,
no. Right. I mean, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys see Impact getting involved in the pay-per-view at all?
Don Callis is just going to huck a grenade at John Moxley and be like, oh, it was the exploding ring. I don't know, man.
I mean, other than the Good Brothers, I'm not sure who I'd want to see.
I like that the Good Brothers are just like on AEW now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just kind of like derping around in the background.
I think that's like 90% of what they wanted from Impact is just that. And then it's like, okay, well, we can send some guys over to do a program here and there.
Right.
And have them canceled the last minute. Because reasons.
Run ads, paid ads on the show.
God, those paid ads are so good.
Yeah.
But looks like a really good pay-per-view. I am very, very excited for this. It looks like there's going to be some great matches on the card, plenty of twists and surprises, and I can't wait for Sunday. It's going to be good.
Mate, well, let me tell you something. Awesome. AEW has yet to have a bad pay-per-view, in very my true. Opinion. They've all
I've never walked away from a pay-per-view being like, oh man, that was a bummer. Like, you know,
Well, you only have 4 a year. You build up your matches. You let them go to town and go figure. You walk away happy. Last year's Revolution was crazy.
Revolution was probably my favorite wrestling pay-per-view from AEW.
Yeah, that was an awesome show. Awesome show.
Mm. Yeah, so I'm super, super amped. We have like 6 days of wrestling this week. It's nuts. And it's all from AEW, and I couldn't be happier. Mm. It's awesome.
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right, well, that wraps up our WrestleCast. We'll take a little break. We'll be back with more show. Do any of you have any final words to wrap this up?
No more show. There's no more. No more. The shirt said no more. Get it? It's a big show. Uh-oh. Never. I'll show myself out.
That was incredible. Oh, my God.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. Another thanks to the WrestleCast crew for coming on and chatting wrestles. But I said it earlier, it's finally here. Cole's back.
I am.
Welcome back. Jacob's here, too.
Yay.
This is how I'm greeted after a month away.
How are you? How was your vacation? I heard you were roughing it for a little bit.
I said hi. Wasn't that enough?
No. It was like camping in my own living room. It was kind of fucking awful. I love to go camping, but when I go camping, do you know what I have? Extension cords. Jeez.
That's not really camping then.
It is. You can have a tent, but you can have the little tent spots that have the little electrical outlets and like cost like $10. And it's wonderful because you can still charge your phone.
True.
Sitting in my house for 17 days teaching number 3 how to play chess. We had days in a row where we spent in excess of 10 hours in one day playing one game of Monopoly.
You know who you needed with you? You needed Purnell with all of his fucking board games.
I have
never prayed for board games so hard in my life. And I also never want to see Battleship, Monopoly, Uno, Phase 10, Rummy, or Chess, or Checkers, or Backgammon, or Tic-Tac-Toe ever fucking again.
Until the next power outage.
Oh, God.
When's the next ice storm, Cole?
Hopefully not for about 5 more February. I had to go this morning and get my stabbing for the Ronas. And
I'm always a fan of you getting stabbed.
Yeah. So it was the first time I'd left the house since the ice storm. And David actually took me a couple of different places and showed me the damage. And we went down to part of our property, and we have this fairly decent sized field. It's about a half acre, and every pine tree in that field was on the ground.
Jeez.
Everyone. I was like, I've lived here for 16 years, and I've never seen that much of that field.
Jeez.
And it was just flat pines all the way across. It's weirdly emotionally devastating, right? And you're like, well, it's just some fucking trees in a field. But there's kind of moments where it feels like the world kind of went on and we're all just sitting here listening to the trees popping, you know?
Yeah.
In some ways, you're kind of still in that night. And it's so terrifying. The Dumb and Dumber were up there shooting their guns the other night. And I was just like, I got up and looked. I was like, a tree just fell. And then I had to catch myself. The tree's not fucking falling right now. It's 60 degrees. It's fine. but there's just weird quirk. I don't think I'll ever hear fireworks and be okay again.
Damn.
Yeah. That's some PTSD shit right there.
Jeez.
Well, you're back, and that's what's important.
I am. I survived it.
I'm glad. God, that was so hard to say.
I love you too, Jacob.
No, you didn't. Don't lie to him.
Okay, but let him feel good for a minute. He did a good.
I did feel
30 seconds.
I did feel good for a minute. Then I had to hear your voice, and I was just like, oh, shit, back to the old days.
In the before time.
Yeah, in the before times. Which before times? Because there's a lot of before times anymore.
Do you know that in my state right now, we are full on having to file multiple reports for FEMA for there were 3 separate ice storms that hit. And then we got electric back and it flooded.
Now, did you get hit by the flood or no?
We did. We got flooded. Geez. Yeah. Our house is up on a hill, so it doesn't affect us. But
so you didn't.
I mean, it was across our road and got horses field and it washed out some of the road.
But the house was good.
The house is fine. Okay. But there's some locational damage. And then the areas closer to the lakes definitely got hit harder. We have a small creek that runs through our property, and it does cause problems when it floods. But again, my house is up on a bank, so the house is okay, but other things get hit. But one of the things, there's still aftermath from flooding, because it was just earlier this week. I lied. We didn't get electric back, and then it flooded. It flooded, and then we got electric back the day after that. But today, because of all the flooding in a nearby town, the city parking garage where all the snow plows and stuff were parked, the bank behind it just completely gave way. And the building, the trucks, all of it's gone.
Wow.
There were pictures of trucks just upside down in water. Because it's the whole bridge behind it. We did have some slippage. And again, we had more trees fall because of it, which is invalidates my it's 60 and fine joke from earlier, because we did have a couple more fall and David had to go cut them. But nothing damaged any of the new power lines or anything. We got lucky. He caught them before they were too bad.
That's good.
Yeah. But if you drive just a little past our house to the other side of this hill, that faces us, the whole side of it has just slipped off, and it looks like a shelf dropped. It's really weird. You can just see bare roots hanging out.
Damn.
You're like, well, get the chainsaw. Got some more work to do.
Bloods are crazy. I've been through a few of them up here with the Susquehanna River, and you know, they're devastating.
They're really, it's been really surreal to like see pictures of where I grew up and stuff, because they got hit really, really bad. They're closer to the water. They have their own lake up there. You see the pictures and like, you're like, oh, I grew up there. And you see them within a month, you see them covered in ice. And then you see them thawed out with broken trees. And then you see the cleanup process. And then as that cleanup process just gets started, boom, here's a flood. Everything's underwater. Get fucked.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what the fucking hell? But it's, there's so much paperwork and you have to photograph everything and report it all. And
yep.
Even like the vet bills for the horse, because she's pregnant. She got hit by one of the trees and like, she's okay. She's okay. We were a little worried that it might send her into labor, but she's fine. But, you know, like even things like the vet bills for the horse and stuff are things you have to report and file claims on. And it's terrible. It's constant.
Yeah, I've got something similar because, well, we discussed it last week, but a pipe connection burst in our basement and it got over a bunch of my stuff. And we finally finished tallying up everything we think is damaged.
Yeah.
And now it's just I have to take photos of all of the CDs that got damaged, and I have to take the video game consoles over to the local independent store because they offer a cleaning service.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the receipts from that, State Farm was just like, yeah, we want the receipts for the cleaning, like for the laundromat, because so many damn clothes were in the basement, and just it sucks.
We had to get all the receipts and stuff from where we laid our floor in our kitchen last spring, and while the power was out, we couldn't heat the kitchen, and the water lines burst and flooded the kitchen. You can leave them drip, but when it's 5 degrees, it doesn't fucking matter anymore. and so we like it ruined all that new floor that David laid less than a year ago. We had to get all the receipts out for that and show where we had paid for it, how much we paid for it. Now we're gonna have to replace all that, and then next couple months we're gonna have to tear all that up and get it out of there. And We did a whole, well, I talked about it on the show. We did a whole kitchen reno. We like new cabinets and everything, and now it's all got to go.
Jeez.
It's terrible. I have a busted window in my bedroom. That's fun.
I don't know how to change the subject to something happy. I don't.
I got inoculated with a deadly virus today. I mean, there's been good things. That's the funny thing. Like, I spent 3 weeks in hell. And then, like, this week has been, like, we got power back. And I got new glasses.
I would just like to say I'm all for injecting coal with deadly viruses.
Jokes on you. They took me off of my immunosuppressant so that I could actually fight that bitch.
Oh, shit.
I am vaccinated.
Great. Now she's indestructible. Great.
That was the least intimidating laugh I've ever heard.
I can't help it. How are you supposed to sound intimidating when you sound like Minnie Mouse giving blowjobs to a helium balloon in a crack house?
Oh, shit. We should get to news. There was a lot of news this week, video game related. There? Yeah, there was.
I mean, if you had internet, you would have known, you know.
Yeah, Rupert's my jam saying we covered this last week, but Ratchet and Clank is free for everyone on the PS4 right now. So if you have a PlayStation account, go redeem that shit.
Okay.
Their play at home initiative is going on for another year, and they're going to add more stuff over the coming months. But the big news with Sony is their PlayStation Plus lineup, which is pretty goddamn great for March.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I believe I did, but I don't even remember what it was now. It's been a busy week.
Well, they've got Maquette on the PS5, which is a brand new game. I haven't played it yet, so I don't know what it's about, but it looks good and it's brand new, so you can't go wrong with that.
Right.
PS4 has Remnant from the Ashes.
Okay.
PSVR has Farpoint. And then also on PS4, only on PS4, it does not include the PS5 upgrade, but Final Fantasy VII Remake for PS4 is part of PlayStation Plus.
Damn.
Like, damn, Sony, you're bringing it.
Yeah. Huh.
On comparison, games with goal, let's reiterate those. Xbox 360 pulling out the big guns with Metal Slug 3 and Port Royale 3.
I was annoyed because, like, you know how last week I was just like, oh, well, as long as I don't have the games, then I don't give a crap. Yay, hooray for me. It turns out I bought Metal Slug 3 years ago. I'm just like, ah, damn it.
Get fucked.
That'll teach you. And then Xbox One has Warface Breakout and Vicious Attack Llama Apocalypse. Which is good. I like that one.
Vicious Attack Llama Apocalypse is like the star of this month. And that's a shame because I really wanted to like Warface. And I did not. I did not. I don't think I would even at free.
Well, it is free, so no one has a choice now. They just get the goddamn game.
Well, they have a choice. They can choose not to download it. And if I had to say, you got to be pretty desperate to roll into that one.
I mean, if you got nothing else to play, just fire it up. It's free.
Yeah, so I guess.
Can't go wrong with free 99.
Yeah.
I like how we're all just like, yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
It's There's better than being times. Stabbed.
Okay.
Is it, though?
Yes. No time. I tried to play Warface, but it took 20 minutes to load, so I gave up. Holy shit.
Glad to hear that they fixed the shit after I bitched about it.
Well, everyone says that all of Microsoft's money is going into Game Pass instead of Games with Gold, so should we go over what's coming to Game Pass?
Yes.
Sure.
It's not a lot this month. At least so far. The beginning of the month is kind of light. March 4th, we got Madden NFL 21, Football Manager 2021 on PC, Football Manager 2021 Xbox Edition on console and PC, and NBA 2K21 on console and cloud. So if you're a sports fan, you're fucking set.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
If you're
Later
not
in March, we're getting
fan.
Star Wars Squadrons well. To EA Vault. And then in April, we're getting NHL 21. But as for Game Pass, there's not a lot this month. I'm kind of bummed because they're losing some good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. March 15th, they are losing Astralagaster on PC. And then they are also losing Kona, Alvastia Chronicles, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, and The Witcher 3.
That sucks. Those are some damn good games.
Carnage says Astralagaster's an easy 1K. Of course he would say that.
I've had it installed on my PC forever and hadn't done it, so I need to go knock it out real quick.
Yeah.
Now that you have power again.
Yeah, now that I can do that. I already got 2,000 just since yesterday. I was like, easy 1K time. Knocked it out.
PlayStation Now is adding some games for March as well, with World War Z being available until September 6th, Ace Combat 7 Skies Unknown available until May 31st, and then permanent editions of Super Hot and Infamous Second Son, which should have been on there from the fucking beginning, Sony. It's your own game. Why wasn't it there? Like, why wasn't it?
I'd like to say that Sony's eventually gonna like hit the wall and be like they have to put their games on there day one, but I don't know. They've held out this long, so maybe not.
Yeah,
you guys are just stuck over there waiting forever till somebody gets a wild hair and decides to add it.
Well, something that Sony's getting rid of is they announced they are discontinuing movie and TV purchases and rentals through the PlayStation Store. Sony says users will still be able to access purchase content for on-demand, playable on PS4, PS5, and mobile devices, but purchases and rentals are gone.
So, I had read about that, and I was, some of you know I have like a huge fuck-off movie collection in the cloud at this point. because after moving like three or four times in 2 years, lugging like 1,000 DVDs up, you know, up to a third floor is no fun. Yeah, the funny thing is that Sony used to have a website called SonyPictureStore.com, and you could purchase movies and rent them and stuff like that all the time. And the only thing it was known for in the Ultraviolet or Movies Anywhere community was that it was glitchy as hell, and it used to award free films. Like, so, like, the movie Sex Tape, it got released. Like, it was free for, like, an entire weekend because somebody at Sony was asleep at the wheel. Like, honestly, you can't convince me that that was not planned, because, no, like, the movie's utterly forgettable, and it just added to it. Oh, no, look at all these lost sales. But, like, Bad Boys was available for free at one point. The original Surf's Up, but only in DVD quality for some reason. There were a couple of House of Cards seasons that accidentally went free. All this other kind of crap. I never bought anything from the Sony store. But if you had it linked to all the other stuff, it's already in your other accounts, like Movies Anywhere and stuff. So I read the news article and I was just like, oh shit. Like, you know, I haven't been over to the Sony thing. Like, maybe they're still doing it for PC. Yeah. That website's gone. I don't know. Like, they're going to stop sales on PlayStation in August 31st or August 30th for movies and stuff like that. Yeah, they stopped it on their website like long ago. And none of us noticed. So
shows how important it was.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. Meanwhile, like, Microsoft's offerings, I mean, if you don't mind that none of them are going to port to any of your other devices and stuff like that. I mean, they've got sales on Paramount and Lionsgate titles all the time.
I wish their stuff did integrate with Movies Anywhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, Paramount and Lionsgate just don't play nice. I mean, I just bought Dead Rising Watchtower, I think it was. It's a second Dead Rising movie.
I didn't even know they made a second one.
I think they were like a web series, like, and then they just shoved them all into like one movie or something like that. Like, they do them to promote the different games as they come out. But yeah, so I bought the last one off of Microsoft's thing because it was on sale for $7. But yeah, it's just, yeah, Microsoft doesn't have, like, I mean, it's pretty good. Plus, it's hooked up to Movies Anywhere. So anything I buy off of there, if it's with a good studio, then it ports over to all my other devices. So, whatever.
Yeah.
Sony's loss that they could never get their shit together.
Your Sony library reminds me of my my Epic Game Store library, where I have never spent a penny on their store, and my library has like 50 free games.
Yeah, mine too.
You know, I regret not opening up an Epic Games account when they first started with that, because at first, honestly, I thought it was going to be a bit of like a flash in the pan kind of thing. Like, they were just like, oh yeah, here's a bunch of free stuff, and I figured it was all just going to be crap. And also, I just didn't feel like dealing with Steam, Good Old Games, and I've got like one other site that I get shit through. And I was just like, I don't feel like opening up a fourth one. And like, and now it's just like, oh yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, there's 50, 60 free games you could have had by now, Jacob, if you'd open up an account. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh,
and good ones too.
Yeah, I mean, they're good ones too. Yeah.
To be fair, a lot of them have been free other places.
Yeah. Right, but...
But speaking of Epic, Epic Games made a purchase this week.
Yeah?
Epic Games have bought Mediatonic, the creators of Fall Guys.
Yeah, that's a thing they did.
That is a thing they did.
So, here's my hot take. Fall Guys will be free in 3 months. And I bought that son of a bitch, and I regret it now.
Wait. What, like, did you buy it on?
Steam.
Yeah, well, that's probably going away soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, actually,
that's what they did with Rocket League.
No, they said it actually will remain available on Steam and PlayStation Store.
I thought they said it will remain playable on Steam, but they didn't say purchasable.
They'll do the same thing that they did with Rocket League, which is if you own it already, you'll still get to keep it, but they'll remove it for purchase.
I'm looking at the Eurogame article with the quote right now. Each season will continue to expand with new content, features, rounds, and costumes. And the game will remain available on Steam and PlayStation Store.
I don't know. We'll see. I think it's only a matter of time before it's gone from Steam. I'm sure there will be no problems with it staying on Sony's store. There's no issues there at all. There's no issues with it coming to Switch or Xbox like it's supposed to this summer. Although I'm pretty sure it's going to launch as a free-to-play game over there. Either that or on Game Pass. I think one of them needs to happen, either Game Pass or free-to-play, by the time it launches on console, other consoles, or else it's not really going to pick up again.
It'll 100% be free, and it'll be buy our season pass every 6 to 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Like it currently is for Rocket League now. So
yeah,
which is fine. I don't have any complaints about it being that way. It's just that it's a thing. It's a choice.
Root Beer says, I think Epic will make it crossplay. I hope they do.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that is missing from Fall Guys is crossplay. It needs to have it. I don't know.
I would like to see them get rid of using the generic names too, though. I know there's probably a good reason for why they do it, but I have a gamer tag for a reason. Let me use it. Yeah. My name is not Fall Guy 9799.
Well, on PlayStation, it shows your tag.
Does so it? That's on a PC Steam, it thing. Doesn't, and that annoys the fuck out of me.
that's a PC thing because PlayStation, it shows your tag.
Hmm.
Some other news, Forever Entertainment, the folks behind Panzer Dragoon's remake, are teaming with Square Enix to create and release several remakes of games, quote, based on one brand owned by the Japanese company Square Enix.
So it's going to be on PlayStation only?
I don't think so. I think it just means it's going to be Final Fantasy.
Hmm.
Because Could it's be. Based on well, one how brand.
How many remakes? Well, wait, so are these going to be... I don't follow. So, like, what are they going to be remakes of? Because
Final
they
Fantasy
already...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh. Well, yeah.
I'm not 7.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, because we've already got 7 on. Okay, so it's just going to be they're going to release a bunch of 8 and 16-bit games.
Maybe. Or maybe they'll do like they did with Final Fantasy 4 on the DS and convert it to 3D.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what they're going to do. It's a mystery to all. We'll find out more in the future. We don't even know what brand they're covering. It might not be Final Fantasy.
I was
going
to say, because, Square Enix has made other games. I'm drawing a blank when I'm trying to think of them, but, I'm sure
they haven't made many big franchises like Final Fantasy. I mean, they technically own some franchises now like Tomb Raider, but I don't think that's what this is going to be. I think this is going to be Final Fantasy related.
Yeah,
that's my
hunch, when you say Square Enix, that's what you think of.
Yeah.
So
now Square Enix is fucking up a little more in a different area. For some reason, the experience rates in Marvel's Avengers are increasing.
What?
They are increasing the XP required to level up because fuck you.
Isn't it already like this massive, stupid grind?
Well, yeah, they said that there is no level curve in this game. It's just a straight line. So they want to fix that and make it a curve because that'll supposedly make it better. Because from levels 25 and up, like the initial first 25 levels are going to be the same, but 25 and up, they're increasing the XP required for each level, which blows my fucking mind. That they are doing something to drive players away from a game that people don't want to play to begin with. Like Avengers is floundering and they're harming it by doing this. No one wants to grind more in a fucking game.
That's so weird that they're doing it. Like, at this point, are they trying trying to write it off on their books?
I don't know what they're doing. Even in the write-up, they're like, if you want to take advantage of the faster leveling, make sure to play before March 18th. Well, how about you just don't fucking change the game?
If you have to write that sentence, you already know you've oofed.
Yeah. Like, what the hell? Speaking of giant oofs, the Stadia shutdowns apparently ended up scrapping a sequel to Journey to the Savage Planet, as well as proposals with Yu Suzuki and Hideo Kojima.
Yeah, that... the reports of like how many millions they blew on shit that just never went anywhere is pretty incredible.
Yeah. And they just dropped, like, who ignores a proposal with Hideo Kojima? They're like, oh, the guy behind Metal Gear Solid? Fuck him.
No one's played that game in a while.
And apparently a near-completed game from Harmonix was scrapped as well. Although Harmonix has said it may appear elsewhere.
I was going to say, I was actually about to ask that. Yeah, because I couldn't see Harmonix just dropping that unless there was some sort of contract about that.
I don't know what it is, what it was related to. I would assume it's a music game. That's kind of what Harmonix does.
Speaking of that, how's Fuser doing?
From what I could tell, it's doing pretty well. It's still coming out with DLC every week. I see a lot of people playing it. Carnage loves it. I love watching people play it.
I haven't played it at all, but the girls enjoy it.
Yeah, it is. It's fun as hell to watch. I'm just not very good at playing it because it gets so complex with the tricks you have to learn to actually get really good scores in the game. But just dicking around is fun, and watching people play it is fun. It's cool to hear what kind of neat mashups you can make in the game.
I don't know, because it's just like I'm thinking about how I used to play music games, because two of the things that got damaged in the basement are my Rock Band drum kit, which of course now is worth money. Back when
what drum kit?
Not be. Rock Band 2.
Oh, yeah, that's probably worth a few bucks.
Great. DJ Hero.
That's not a loss.
I know. Shut up. I like DJ Hero. And I had the ultimate
the Renegade edition.
Renegade, thank you.
I have it too, so I can shit talk the game because I haven't. It's not a huge loss.
But yeah, as we were discussing, like, you know, how's Fuser doing? I was like, I wonder if they still release any DLC for DJ Hero.
No.
Probably not.
Years. If it's even still for years sale. Past. I would assume out. That the DLC is long gone.
We can keep talking about news while I look this up.
So, Nintendo announced that Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl will be announced worldwide late 2021.
Okay.
So, Pokemon remakes. Excited.
Yeah. So, girls were like, yay, more Pokemon. And I was like, more Pokemon.
Some sad news. Defiance 2050 is shutting down for good on April 29th. So if you ever played Defiance or Defiance 50, 2050, you've only got a few more weeks to play it.
Bye-bye. No, Defiance already shut down.
Did it?
Defiance shut down last year. Defiance 2050 is shutting down.
I thought they said Defiance was as well. I didn't know they were separate servers, honestly. I couldn't fucking told you. I own the stupid, ridiculous collector's edition that came with the messenger bag for Xbox 360, and man, did that game flop too.
Yeah, I remember, like, because I was just like, oh, this seems fun. And I remember watching you play it, and I think my old roommate John played it too. But it's just, I never got around to getting into it because I wasn't going to spend all that money on an MMO. But yeah, like, that, I don't know, that always just kind of sucks. Like, I hate it when, like, games like that go offline and then
I wish they were more accessible for solo players. Everything's like squad up with a team and do this together and take on giant bosses in raids of like 70 people. Like, I just want to play by myself and kill bunnies. Let me do the easy quests. Let me keep occupied. It's why I can't stick with Final Fantasy 14. They had a free return campaign for 4 days. I played it for a couple hours, and I was like, I don't remember what the fuck I was doing in this game. I don't remember how to play. None of my macros were saved. Like, I even invert camera wasn't saved. Like, none of my settings were saved from last time I played on PS4. So, it just, I couldn't get back into it. MMOs just, I want to play them, but I want them to be solo focused, not focused, but solo friendly.
Yeah, I agree on that one.
I don't know. Dead Island 2 is set to release only on new gen consoles and PC. It has been officially scrapped for PS4 and Xbox One. Damn. Because, you know, that's actually coming out sometime soon.
I mean, that's good news. I mean, that it's not going to be hindered back by, like, previous consoles and stuff like that, but I don't know. I just, I want to like Dead Island. Like, I really do, but I just can't, like, I don't know. It's just one of those games that I just can't pick up and play, like, you know, a month later and stuff like that. It just, I don't know. I
Dead Island was great with friends. Solo, not as much. Again.
I played it alone a lot. I didn't mind it.
I didn't think it was as good solo.
I had a better time playing with friends, but I also didn't mind if I was playing it alone. And I played it a lot because I fucking loved it.
I beat the first one. Well, I really enjoyed it. Jacob, if you want to play Dead Island, I will play Dead Island.
At the rate it's going, nobody's ever going to beat second.
True.
Now I'm going to go cry.
Someone else who's crying is J.K. Rowling, because it was announced Hogwarts Legacy will have trans-inclusive character options with body, voice, and gender all separate.
Nice.
Kotaku had an interesting article about that, how it's just like, yeah, I mean, that is a good step forward, but at the same time, it's still not, you know, really reaching that far for non-binary people. Cyberpunk was doing, at the same time, they also said, you really shouldn't be worrying about, you know, what genitals your character has as, like, a teenager in Hogwarts. Mm-hmm.
Representation matters.
Right, it does. I mean, at the same time, though, like, the students are still being divided up into boys and girls.
That's though, the thing, though. Like, which, gender is not just something that you come into contact with as an adult. And it extends beyond just their genitals. So right. That kind of representation for kids who may be trans and not know how to express that's important for them.
No, I agree that, like, this is important.
Okay.
And unfortunately I don't have the article handy. But the editor who wrote it is trans. And so I'd recommend checking it out. I thought it was an interesting thought piece on that, if you have a chance.
I think it's good with body, voice, and gender. I don't think they need to bring genitals into Hogwarts.
Well, they're not. They're not.
Yeah.
It's like
I think that comparison with Cyberpunk. Like, Cyberpunk, if you haven't played Cyberpunk, you get to play with their bits.
Mm-hmm.
You get to determine if they have bits or if they don't have bits or what kind of bits or inner bits.
And also voice as well.
Yeah.
Which I think was also a thing about Hogwarts as well. I think they were saying that voice is not something you can mess with, but
they did say voice in Hogwarts.
They did say that voice was one of the things.
Yeah. Oh, they okay.
Shut up, Jacob. All right. Last bit of news I have is that Frogwares is in some
Drop it.
K4, thanks for dropping a bitty. Thank you for that. And thank you, George, for screaming at me. Yeah, Cole, if you didn't realize, I have it set to automatically do the sounds now when people drop bits.
I heard that the other day when I was able to watch the show but not participate in it.
Yeah, so it does it automatically.
Because when I was without power, it required lots of car batteries and very loud generators to be able to power anything in this house. And so that was not conducive to recording the show, or it would have been like the whole time.
What are you doing, Cole? Anyway, Frogwares. Frogwares is in some shit again.
Imagine.
They are at odds with Nacon or Nacon, whatever you want to. Even in the video where Frogwares was showing everything that they did, they kept jumping between Nacon and Nacon. So I still don't know what it is. Maybe. But Frogwares posted a video showing alleged evidence that Nakon pirated, hacked, and resold the game The Sinking City on Steam. Nakon replied stating that they released a legitimate copy of the game within their rights, and then Frogwares DMCA'd them.
Yeah.
And got the game yanked off Steam completely.
Yeah.
They did, although Nakon's also responded to that too, explaining how they did it, what and why. This thing is going to be so fucked.
Like, it is.
I was really hoping it was just going to be like some sort of like open and shut court will decide kind of thing. But yeah.
Nakon is saying that the courts settled in their favor. But then Frogwares is saying that it's still undecided in court. So I don't like who is telling the truth. I don't know. Aki's in chat. She's the one who was really behind this news. I know she's big into Frogwares and their games, and she's not happy with Nakon over this. It's hard to be on Nakon's side. It really looks like Frogwares is getting dicked over, and either they need a better lawyer who reads their contracts, or Nakon is really screwing them over here, and I don't know which it is.
I don't know, but it's a hell of a situation. Like, I hadn't read any of the news articles. I was only skimming headlines when I saw it, but even then, you're just like, there's nothing good that can come from that. There is no win-win here.
No. Someone somewhere is a dick bag. And the gamers are getting hurt because they can't buy the game.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's the news I got. Jacob, what do you have?
All right.
Don't forget, so you're the one who has to pee.
It's true.
Or did you already? Is it trickling down your leg right now?
No. I'm hoping I can finish one of these water bottles in time. So Hardsuit Labs has had to lay off a bunch of people following their removal from Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of to be expected after that was announced last week, but no. Now that's been official. So we now know what is going to be available from Arby's for Shovel Knight. You're going to be getting a bunch of DLC.
Are there any Shovel Knight toys at all, or is it just the codes for Switch and Steam?
From what I can tell, it just sounds like you get codes for Steam and Switch ports, and it also unlocks one of seven exclusive in-game items in Shovel Knight Treasure Trove.
So, it's only on Steam and Switch, but pretty sure I have it on Switch, so I'm good.
Well, I don't have it, so hooray. Free game for me.
There you go.
Yeah.
In pieces.
So Bandai Namco is withdrawing from all of its arcade locations in the United States, which is, I believe they said it was about 60 locations. The arcades are not going to close. They're just changing hands between three different companies. However, they will no longer be Namco branded. So I was a little surprised by that, although it makes sense, but the mall arcade near us over at Park City Mall in Lancaster, PA, that actually is a Namco one.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Although now I'm definitely holding on to my Namco arcade card, and also I know I have a few tokens from it too.
Nice.
They're still going to make arcade games. It's just they won't own the locations where they go to. E3 2021 and San Diego Comic-Con have both been canceled.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What?
Yeah.
This is my shocked face.
The Board of Los Angeles Convention and Tourism Development Commission is the one who broke the news. They more so leaked it. It's a list of everything that was coming up, and on their list, they said it was canceled. So then the event organizers had to say, oh yeah, it will be canceled. So.
Okay. What else you got? Call anything on your end?
I don't got a thing.
Uh-oh, Aki said something.
Oh, my lord. Aki wrote a book.
Aki says, the lawyers have gone in favor of Nakon in one sense. Frogwares originally tried to get out of their contract, and they were allowed to. However, Nakon decided to prevent Frogwares from being able to get out of their contract with some COVID stuff. However, Nakon did what they had rights to some of the money until the contract is completely dispelled, something Frogware didn't want, since Nakon literally cut Frogwares out of the final product notices and has kept doing so. So, yeah, it's a shitty situation. But
Nakon has said that they've been up to date on all payments.
Yeah, if they've been up to date on payments, then I don't think Frogwares really has a case.
Like, because that's the latest that Nakon has said. They're just like, yeah, like they've been getting paid, and they will continue to get paid for Steam sales. So, the Cyberpunk 2077 code reportedly has sold for $7 million.
That, I thought, was a few weeks old.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it was. Weird.
Huh. You punk.
Damn it.
Pretty sure we talked about it on the show, too.
No, we talked about it getting stolen. We didn't talk about it being auctioned, though. I'm
pretty sure we did.
Well, I'm pretty sure you suck at life.
Dick. Pretty sure I do.
You're like, I don't know why you say things that don't hurt me. So Florida Super Nintendo World has been delayed till 2025.
Okay.
In case you were planning on a vacation down there.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait to go to Florida. Florida and Texas. Can't wait.
And Valve's Dota 2 card game is dead. Or Artifact. Sorry. That's what it's called. You know, which is really sad news for all five players.
Yeah, I didn't even know about the game. So
I had heard about it when it launched, and then nobody ever talked about it ever again. So, you know.
Well, you know what we should talk about?
Boogers?
Reviews.
Oh, okay.
Cole, are you ready? You haven't done them in a while. Do you remember how?
I might need a refresher course.
Okay, well, Jacob's starting off. So first game to talk about tonight is called Monster Jam Steel Titans 2, developed by Rainbow Studios, published by THQ Nordic, released March 2nd on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $39.99. Monster Jam Steel Titans 2 features more fan-favorite trucks and brand new Monster Jam worlds, brand new online multiplayer modes, 38 trucks to choose from, and 5 new outdoor worlds. Drivers train at Camp Crushmore and compete in authentic stadiums to become the ultimate champion. Jacob, tell us about it.
I mean, that description was pretty apt as to everything you could do about it. I mean, earlier, I guess it was late last year, I did that Monster Truck Challenge thing, and I was really praying to God that, you know, this was not going to be the same with that. However, I am happy to report that Steel Titans 2, Monster Jam.
Yes, Monster Jam Steel Titans 2.
There we go. Is not, you know, in the same boat as that. The controls are responsive. They're slick. It actually feels right controlling your monster truck as it careens across the countryside or on a stadium track. It's just a lot of fun. I had more fun with the countryside, like playgrounds with all the different environments that you can go across. Oh,
Camp Crushmore.
Like yeah. And like just running over trees. I thought it was interesting that the buildings can't be demolished, but
yeah, I was hoping you could crash into those, but you could take out trees. You could take out picnic baskets or picnic tables and chairs.
Right. And I was trying to solve some of the stuff. Cause like, there was that area with the ice cream thing and you keep hearing an ice cream truck sound. I don't know. Like it felt like there was like some sort of like hidden object there that you were supposed to go after.
I think you have to go there with a certain truck and unlock something.
Okay. That would explain it. Yeah.
But there's a lot to unlock in the game and I haven't unlocked nearly enough to really have jumped between them and swapped out trucks. And like, I've been sticking with one truck and just leveling that up because trucks level up in this game. Which is cool experience for your trucks. Neat.
Yeah. And it's just like, and as you're going through races and stuff like that, I didn't place first very often, but the races felt fair. And it's just, you know, it's really just you having to get used to the controls and stuff like that. But the controls feel right. And the AI didn't seem like a cheap bitch, you know? I had a lot of fun with it. I'll be honest. Like, this is one that I'm going to be keeping around for a while.
I will say I did have issues with the handling a bit. It's definitely a game where you have to get used to. The whole dual stick turning is still weird to me in monster truck games, but I understand why they do it and how it works. It's just weird to get used to. And then in Camp Crushmore especially, if you get air and you try to land that fucker, good luck. You're going to roll everywhere. Like, I don't know how the physics in this game work.
But at the same time, getting back up was easy. Like, I'm thinking back to that Monster Truck Challenge game, and I was just like, that game, that was horrendous trying to get anything done in that game.
Well, that was more sim. This is more arcade.
Right, but I mean, still with the arcade, like, I mean, still with the controls and stuff like that, it still feels more responsive.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to go where you need to go. I mean, yeah, there, I will agree there is a little bit of a learning curve, but I also drove, you know, Halo's Warthogs quite a bit, and the Mako in Mass Effect, so I don't know, it felt right to me. I didn't get to do any of the multiplayer. Did you?
Yes, I played some of the online. It was tough finding a game, but it's, you know, it's still a new release.
It's
but
new.
Yeah. One match I did get into, everything seemed to work fine. There was only one other guy. I lost.
You suck.
I do.
You're the worst.
But we played a few rounds. It seemed to work fine. I think as long as there is an online community, you know, you'll find races. It just depends if that community is going to be there.
Right. I mean, I don't know how successful the previous game was in terms of online play. But yeah.
And then we can't forget the next gen version of Monster Truck Championship is releasing next week, and we have to wonder if that's going to affect sales at all.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that one more next week, and we could compare the two more next week. But as it stands on its own, Monster Jam Steel Titans 2, $40. What do you think about it?
40. I'm a little surprised by that price. Yeah, definitely. I thought they would have charged more for it. And honestly, I would have been, if you had told me it was like $59.99, I would have been like, yeah, it's still a fair price.
Well, it's $39.99, so even better.
Even better. Yeah, I recommend it.
Cool. All right, next game to talk about is Steven Universe Unleash the Light, developed by Grumpy Face Studios, published by Cartoon Network Games, released February 19th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $24.99. The Crystal Gems are back for the third game in the Light Trilogy. When two powerful gem rulers threaten the newfound peace of Era 3, Steven and friends must embark on a new RPG quest to stop them. It's time to unleash the light. Jacob, tell us about Steven Universe Unleash the Light.
Wait, this is a trilogy? Right.
Think no. So? Apparently.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Because I mean, there's only two Steven Universe games out on Xbox One, I think. Huh. Okay. Well, that kind of stinks that the entire trilogy is not available. Anyway, or maybe it's delisted. I don't know. Anyway. Okay. So this is obviously made geared towards fans of Steven Universe, which I mean, I think it's okay. My wife's more of a fan of it, so that's why I requested it. But like, I know enough to get through it without asking too many questions off at the start. So what's really nice about this game is that, I mean, first off, they brought in all the usual voice actors. The art style is a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It definitely has like a modern yet retro feel to it. And playing through it, it definitely gives... It feels like a, you know, my first RPG. Like, it's definitely aimed at kids who, you know, like, somewhere between, like, 8 and 12 who have never played an RPG before. So there is a lot of hand-holding at first, trying to tell you, like, this is how this works. This is, you know, this is how you do this in battle. This is what, you know, this is who heals. This is who, you know, fights and stuff like that. This is how the upgrade system works. And all of... all the world in the game is presented in little bite-sized chunks that should take you no more than 20 minutes to complete. Like, even if you're just dicking around and, like, you know, going through literally every single part of that little bite-sized map, which is really, really nice, because for kids, I could see something like, I mean, hell, me as a teenager with Final Fantasy, I had no clue where the hell I was going. And it turns out I was going towards, like, you know, the second to last dungeon that you were supposed to be at. And I'm wondering why I'm getting my ass kicked constantly. You know, meanwhile, with Steven Universe, it's just like, all right, this is where you need to go. This is where this is. And at the end of the level, you know, before you get to decide whether you want to leave or not, it's like, all right, well, there, you know, is there a secret room? Did you collect all the items? It'll tell you what you have yet to do, or it'll tell you, hey, you did 100%. Good job. And it very much guides you through each part, and it makes it so it's a very friendly and inviting RPG to play. I mean, whether whether you play them a lot or this is your very first one. And the other thing is that's nice about it is that there's no grinding whatsoever.
That's good. It's nice to see an RPG that doesn't focus on grinding.
Yeah. It's just like, now, I mean, occasionally you will have areas where, you know, you're quote unquote ambushed. But those are just like, it's just part of the level. It won't pop up again during that level. You know, it's just that it is what it is. It's part of the story. But yeah, it's
Aki's asking, can you grind to become stupidly OP?
Not that I've found so far.
It's the game takes you at its pace.
Yes. It's very much like what I got to play with Final Fantasy 13. Like, you know, for better, for worse, if you like that system. Where it's just, you know, here's the story, there's no grinding, have at it, you know.
Gotcha. I did look it up. Steven Universe Attack the Light is the first game in the trilogy and it released for Android, iOS, and Kindle back in 2015.
Kindle?
Yeah.
We should, Joe, go see if you can get me a code for Kindle.
Damn it. And it was first announced at MAGFest in 2014.
Woo!
That's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, Unleash the Light, $25. What do you say?
Totally worth it. I'm actually planning on going back and picking up Save the Light, the second game in the series, because of this.
Nice.
So yeah, I honestly hope that they do more games like this. I mean, it would be cool if they released the first one, although I don't know that they will. But I'd like to see, honestly, I would like to see Cartoon Network or other publishers release more RPGs like this, where it's a very friendly, it's chill, and bite-sized RPG.
Yes, more accessible RPGs that you don't have to grind, that you could just pick up and play and enjoy. You don't have to be a super RPG freak to get into it. Like, Dragon Quest XI has its purpose in the world for the hardcore RPG fans, but there's games like this that has its place as well for the newer RPG fans.
And honestly, and that's part of the thing that always holds me back with RPGs is that it's just like, I love the idea of them, but I don't want to have to grind. Like, I hate that with the games, and it's just like, I like knowing where I have to go, and I don't like feeling like my time is being wasted with stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of why, the early Fable games, Mass Effect, that kind of stuff were so attractive for me as somebody who, as I said, I like the idea of RPGs, but I hate,
grind.
What, 100 hours of grinding just so I could fight against a boss and lose.
No.
You know, so.
All right. Well, next game up.
Buy it.
Gotcha. Next game up is Endurance Space Action, developed by Ivan Panasenko, published by EpixR Games, released February 12th on Xbox One for $7.99. Endurance Space Action is a sci-fi top-down shooter with old-school retro vibes, intriguing story, and pixel art graphics. Cole, how you feeling? You ready to talk?
I didn't die, so I guess let's go.
Tell us about your time with Endurance that we should have had on the show 2 weeks ago, but then the fucking ice storms happened.
I'm sorry to the dev for this. Endurance is a sequel to the top-down shooter Ailment, which I didn't realize until I started playing it. And it's like, hi, yeah, I made Ailment.
I should be playing Ailment. I wish I could be playing Ailment. I liked how it kept saying that in the beginning.
Yeah. It was really a bit of a shock. I don't remember anything from when this game was given to me. So when I loaded it up, I was like pleasantly surprised by every bit of it.
I got to play a game for the first time all over again.
I was like, fuck, Ailment. I liked Ailment. And then I spent the whole time with Endurance going, fuck yeah, I liked it.
I remember video games. This is fun.
And then I got the completion. I was like, I'm an achievement whore. I forgot.
Okay, so Ailment is out on Xbox One?
Yeah, and it's an easy completion. Okay. Cool. And you should play it, but you should also follow it up with Endurance, because if you like the first, you're already going to be pretty satisfied. It's the same concept. You're on a spaceship. You get to pick your character. They do the whole thing where, like, different characters have different stats, and I'm not shy about the fact that I fucking hate that setup, because it's always the female characters that get shafted with, like, low health, or, well, they get regen, but they only have, like, 2 hits, so good luck. I hate that shit. And it does happen, not particularly with the health, but there are differences in all the different characters. I still pick the female anyway. Fuck it. I put it on easy. Let's roll. You can choose easy, normal, hard. I don't know why anybody plays anything on hard anymore. Life is all about easy. I'm old. I'm a curmudgeon. I'm on borrowed time as it is, and I just want to enjoy the game. So, even on easy, there were a couple of moments where Endurance got a little tough. And that's because there's quite a few elements that have been thrown into the game. It not only feels like it's a true sequel to Ailment, but it's one of those sequels that takes what they got right in the first game and then builds on it. Not all of it's for the better. I hate chase sequences, and regardless of what mode I'm playing, what kind of game I'm playing, chase sequences are always bullshit. And there are a couple levels where it literally just says on the screen, run.
Yeah. Oh,
and you just get overwhelmed. And thankfully, if you're playing on lower difficulties, you get a few extra attempts. The one thing I do have a bit of an axe to grind with, though, is that if you die, you have extra attempts, but you still have to pay credits for those extra attempts. It seems like it would be better suited to me if it were like, you have 4 do-overs. Good luck. Do you want to use one or do you want to pay? And give me that choice, because there were times where I had credits, but I didn't have money because I was trying to keep my dumb ass alive. And so I was using my money to heal. And so then when I did fuck around and die, I couldn't revive myself with the credits that I had, because it still costed 200 credits. I don't like that. If you're going to let me have a do-over, just give me the do-over. Don't punish me for having spent my money on upgrades to stay alive and then die anyway. If you wanted to do that on, like, the higher difficulties, I'd be more forgiving of it. But on easy, fuck it, just let people die. We're going to. Even still, though, I only died like 3 times. And I actually got through one of the later chase sequences in one run.
EG.
And I was so proud of myself. I was like, look at me, I'm a fucking beast. I was so proud. So it was a good time, and if games like Endurance are what I've got to look forward to coming back to doing reviews after a month off, I'm cool with that.
Oh no, you're fucked. You're getting all the worst games now.
Well,
you're low person on seniority poll now.
See you in a month.
where am I on the list?
Second from the bottom.
Nice. Yes.
Jacob, what are your thoughts on Endurance?
It was a little bit weird at first. Like, I didn't like the fact that the tutorial was kind of like, all right, this is how you do this, this is how you do this, this is how you do this, and then, all right, have fun, bye. And then if you go into the options, it doesn't give you the control scheme or anything. So I had to hit buttons and accidentally shoot people a couple times to figure out what all I was supposed to be doing. But otherwise, so far, I mean, it's been a pretty fun romp. I set it on easy, and I've only died once, and I think I'm on level 5. But I like traversing the ship. I like the fact that not all doors, it shows that, here's a door for this sector, blah, 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 but you don't have a key to open it, and you won't have a key, so just head to the exit. Because usually I feel like more games like this, it's just like they have you explore everything. Now, maybe, at higher levels, you will get to explore everything, and maybe, obviously the danger is more there.
You don't have to leave. You can go explore.
Well, yeah, I know, but I think I've explored all I can explore, and there's still doors that are locked that the map is telling me that there aren't. What's up?
I said, if there's still locked doors, then you didn't explore.
Well, yeah, but the map tells you, where you need to go for them and stuff like that. So the fact that there's still some of those red doors hanging around afterwards, I don't know. I thought it was an interesting touch. My only complaint about it is, the gun fixing and stuff like that. So the game doesn't really tell you how those things work, and so if you don't have the gun, I thought it was just going to be like some item that's in my inventory and I could just use it later or whatever. Instead, the game makes you fix whatever gun you have armed at that time. And so I had a gun that was at 5% or whatever percent. But meanwhile, what I had armed was at 100. It was brand spanking new. And I grabbed the gun fixing and it was just like, oh, congratulations, your gun's fixed. And it's but it was already perfect.
Not had to be at 99. If it's completely good, it won't let it work.
It won't let it.
All right, fine. But you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. It was a complete waste, and I wish that the game would warn you ahead of time that hey, this is how it works. You need to have this gun armed. Whatever. Anyway, I enjoyed it. I'd recommend it.
Cool. Moving on, next game to talk about is called Heavy Metal Machines, developed and published by Hoplon Infotainment, released February 23rd on Xbox One and PS4 as a free-to-play game. Heavy Metal Machines is a one-of-a-kind free-to-play multiplayer vehicle combat game where players engage in intense 4v4 battles controlling lethal vehicles in post-apocalyptic arenas. Jacob, tell us about Heavy Metal Machines.
Now, Joe, before I start talking about it, did you get to play it or no?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So pretty much, again, it's as the description said, there's all these different vehicles that you can use, and pretty much you are stuck in these 4v4 matches of Capture the Flag. And as far as I could tell, that's about it, because that's all the game ever had me play. And each of the vehicles have different attributes. They have different weapons. There's even some that can heal your other teammates, versus, just destroy everything. The controls are fine. I had no issues, controlling my car and making it go around one of two tracks, which I was a little surprised by. And is also a bit of a hindrance with it as well. But it's just pretty much, it's just a simple Capture the Flag game that I feel like it wants to be a top-down version of Rocket League, with a different, location set up. And it's just, all right, we move it here, you fire your weapons, which honestly feel like they never do anything. And I've played it with a couple of different cars, and the only time I ever felt like I was useful is when I was the healing car, and I was just running around.
I felt very useless playing this game. It didn't matter what vehicle I used. It just felt like I was woefully underpowered to do anything. I felt like my vehicle, there was a slight delay on turning. So every time I wanted to make a sharp turn, I had to turn early, and it was just weird to get a hang of. I couldn't aim worth a damn in this game.
And oh my God. The weapons never. Yeah. First off, between when they actually launch and when they recharge, when you fire them off, it's just nothing ever feels like it works ever in this game.
No.
And it's just, I don't know.
And it feels like the game doesn't know what it wants to be. Like, it wants to be Rocket League. It wants to be Twisted Metal. It wants to be a racing game. I don't get what it's trying to do. Like, the track layouts are just, they're weird.
I like the idea of like how the tracks were laid out, because I did like how, you know, whoever's carrying the ball, you can't skip through like all the little gaps in the walls and stuff like that, like everyone else. I thought that was kind of fun. I thought that was a neat little invention, or not invention, but mechanic for the game. But it's just, yeah, between how long it took to get a game going, every single time, like I think the longest I had to wait for a game was 7 minutes.
I didn't have to wait long for matches, but all of mine just seemed to be bot matches.
Were they bots? Because I thought mine had players in them.
I'm pretty sure the ones I played were bots, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. But it's just,
I couldn't tell if no one was playing, if it was because of my skill being a new player, if they were real players and it just 12. Didn't really show. Yeah, so the game's been around. It's just making its debut on consoles.
Is it cross-play, do you know?
Yes.
Okay. And I mean, maybe that helped too, like for the time that I was playing it. Because as I said, like it never seemed like I was playing with bots and stuff like that. It just took forever. I think the quickest I ever got matched up in a game was 2 minutes. Mm. Longest was 7. And it's just the time in between the matches is just dull, and it just, I don't know.
The best part about this game is the fact that it's free to play. So if you don't trust what we're saying and you want to check it out for yourself, there's no harm in giving it a download and trying it.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, if you're an achievement whore, like pretty much everyone on this show,
the fuck away.
I think there's honestly like two achievements that should be generally easy to get. Everything else I was reading on the list and I was just like, holy God, you're going to have to play this for like the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Regularly to get. With that being said, I'd recommend it as a try it. I felt like it might work better on PC than Xbox, to be honest. I mean, since it's free to play, it's definitely worth a shot. And I will recommend doing it, especially since it's free to play. But it wasn't the most, it wasn't necessarily my favorite, but
yeah.
I wouldn't mind firing it up every once in a while just to see how things are going. But, I wish it was more than just capture the flag 4-on-4 matches.
Yeah. Carnage saying, I think it would be better with twin stick shooter controls. I think so too. If it just had standard twin stick and you didn't have to like use a primary weapon and then a secondary and then a third weapon and a special weapon that all recharge at their own rates. And sometimes you'll get a vehicle that the primary weapon isn't even a friggin' projectile weapon. It just hits a circle around you. And it like, why?
Yeah.
Don't make that my primary weapon.
Yeah, or like the one that I had where it's just like, oh, I heal everyone. Cool. Like, I don't know. Try it. But, you know, I...
Try it, but it wasn't for us.
Right.
And it might be better on PC. Although it does look like it has mouse and keyboard support on console.
So. It does. I did see that. Which immediately made me like, oh, okay, so this is supposed to be a PC game. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
All right, well, that is it for you, Jacob. I guess we'll let you get going.
Fucking finally.
You can go pee, right? Finally. do you have any final words, Jacob?
Nah.
Okay.
Wait on that. Oh, wait. Oh, crap.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. No, I totally forgot about my story, Joe. The Kinect.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah, this is kind of weird. All right. So my wife and I have decided that we're going to get an Xbox One Kinect because we're going to do a bunch of like the fitness crap that's associated with it. And like, we're also going to get the Just Dance game, well, partially also because we want to do Just Dance. We know the kids want to do it too, but there's no way in hell I'm going to let them hold either of our phones while they're doing it.
Fair.
yeah, I do not trust a 3-year-old to not toss my phone straight into the TV.
no sense so, of adventure.
So I purchased a Xbox One Kinect up on Facebook Marketplace for $15, and I was just like, hell yeah. And then the dickweed canceled my order this morning because he suddenly decided he'd only want to do porch pickups and didn't feel like having to go to the post office anymore. Yeah, so I reported him to Facebook. I mean, I didn't get charged for it or anything, but still. I found another one today, and it was an Xbox One Kinect and two of the oldest Just Dance games for Xbox One, 2014 and 2015, which obviously aren't available anymore. So the only way you could get them is buy them on disc and stuff like that. And they fetch like more than I'd rather have to pay for them. Like it seems like they go for about $30 used.
Wow.
Yeah. Like that's what I was seeing up on Amazon and eBay the other day for like the older games, which I was really surprised by because it's Kinect. Like, why would you want them? But whatever. Anyway, so I go to buy it and I look at the seller's name and it is Jessica K. Reeder, which really, this is really bizarre, but that is my wife's maiden name. So anyways, I was like, holy shit. That's spoopy. So I was like, holy shit, this must be Destiny. So I bought it and this lady's already mailed it out, nice. Which I was just like, fantastic. So
of course she mailed it out. She lives with you.
She just walked outside, stuck it in the mailbox and was like, mail's here.
She's like, oh boy, good. I got 80 more of my husband's dollars. What a dumb schmuck. It's some lady who lives out in Utah. So crazy shit.
He's like, anyway. So you just decide to tell everyone your wife's name. Like, no one's fucking listening to this. My name is Joseph Anthony Camisa. Come at me, bro.
Is that what your middle name is?
Yeah.
Huh.
You never don't do that. Track me as an Anthony. I'm not telling you how my first name get fucked.
Yeah, no, you don't care.
Wait, isn't it Nicole?
No.
Wait, Joe, how do you know that?
Because she said that multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
But has she ever revealed her? Wait, what? Oh, that's... I trust you less now, Cole.
Sneaky people.
Yeah.
No, never like, tell people your name. Someone is going to be an issue. No one listens to this show.
Fun fact, Martin is also not my legal last name.
I feel like I'm a 5-year-old who just found out Santa Claus isn't real.
Wait, what? What's that about Santa? You son of a bitch. I hope your kids are awake and heard you, you asshole.
Oh god, that would be terrible. But thankfully they are fast pooping. Asleep because they didn't nap today. Wait, so Nicole is your middle name though, right?
The silence means yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
I was just like
middle name Anthony for an Italian, shocking.
No, like I honestly thought that you dropped me from the call. It was just like, so my final words are, wait a second, your name is Nicole. Or like your middle name is Nicole, right?
Click.
Yeah.
And with truncate silence, no one's going to hear that gap anyway. Okay,
right.
Jacob, do you have any final words?
No, I just said later, fuckers.
Okay, bye. All right, next game to talk about is called Metropolis, developed by Parita Studio, published by Apple.
Huh? It is not called Metropolis.
Metropolis?
No, it's Mutropolis.
Mutropolis. Really?
Yeah, surprise, bitch.
That is shocking. I thought it was Metropolis.
Nope.
Okay.
They pronounce it in the game. That's why I know.
Okay. So Mutropolis, developed by Parita Studio, published by Application Systems Heidelberg, released February 18th on Steam for $19.99. Mutropolis is a lovely sci-fi adventure set on the abandoned planet Earth. Play as Henry Dijon, hero nerd detective in search of a legendary lost city, uncover weird ancient artifacts, and please don't get obliterated by an ageless evil. You've been warned. Paul, tell us about Mutropolis.
I feel like I spent the last month being obliterated by an ageless evil.
You were.
So this was fitting to play. Metropolis is a classic point-and-click adventure. As you said, in all the nonsense in the beginning, you play as Henry Dijon, and you're with a ragtag team of very trope-heavy characters that make up a crew of archaeologists. Now, when we say archaeologists, you think, oh, they're like digging around in Egypt or something, right? But that's not what's happening here. The game is set in the year 5000, so very far in the future, and it follows a cataclysmic event that led to humans fleeing Earth for Mars. And now, way in the future, Martian humans like to go back to Earth every now and then to do archaeological digs. Mm. Metropolis kind of has the same legendary flair in this game as like when you speak about the lost city of Atlantis or I had another one but I lost it. But Atlantis, we'll roll with that. With that.
City of El Dorado.
There you go. Thank you. I couldn't spit it out. But it has that, like, everybody's heard of it. It sounds mystical. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that very early on, you find a mural for Metropolis, and I'm pretty sure it's just New York. I have some theories. Without spoiling anything, pretty sure it's just New York. But of course, nothing can go smoothly. And as your team, you know, solves point and clicks and solves their way through this archaeological dig, they uncover a little more than they meant to. And it leads to a really creative, wild story that is surrounded with all of this beautiful illustration. I love the art style in this game. It's very heavy on the stylized digital type of art where it's kind of hard to describe if you're not an art nerd like me. But it's very stylized, very bright and colorful. I loved everything about the visual style of Metropolis. I will say that I don't want to bitch that the puzzles are hard, because they're not. And after you solve it, you go, oh yeah, that makes sense. But the logic involved to solve some of the puzzles, there are not always enough context clues given in the game to help you get from A to B. There were times where I just had to pull out a guide and go, oh yeah, I get it. I guess that works. And sometimes it can just be as simple as like, you'll miss the tiniest little context clue in the dialogue, or you'll miss a small animation that'll happen far on the other side of the screen while you're, you know, talking to somebody that you're supposed to pick up on. So you can't, if you don't nab every single little context clue, or if you skip something too quickly, then you're like, well, that's fucked. I have no idea what I'm doing. Time to go back to a guide. Thankfully, there were guides because I was supposed to play this before it launched, and then I couldn't because I was in the dark. I was doing my own archaeological dig in my living room. So at least by the time I got to it, I was like, hey, look, other people solved the hardship for me, which is great. the game is pretty standard length for a point and click. Although if you didn't have help, or if you weren't willing to like go check out a guide and you were trying to solve some of those puzzles, you'd be there a while. And it would kind of get to a point where like the game could very easily overstay its welcome. And that's kind of a shame. I get why. I get that the solutions to these things are non-traditional given the futuristic aspect of the characters and their lack of knowledge about their surroundings. They don't get pop culture references and things like that, that, you know, the audience playing the game is in on, but the characters are just like, derp, you know, and it can be funny, but it can also lead to some confusion for puzzle solving. It's definitely one of those where like, the devs know how to solve it, fucking nobody else does. But at least it's pretty to look at while you're sitting there scratching your head, trying to figure out what clue you missed.
Waiting for the guide to load.
Yeah, waiting for something to, you know, that's literally the only thing I could bitch about it too, is like I enjoyed it and I enjoyed playing it, I enjoyed spending time with it. The characters, like I said, are a little tropey, but the writing is good. It does fly off the wall, and it does a couple of times feel like maybe there's not enough explanation for the plot, and it's almost kind of like you have to wonder if it just wound up on the cutting room floor for some reason for how you get to certain points in the story. I'm trying so hard not to give away spoilers.
Gotcha.
Because it's definitely like act three shit where you just go, what? And it would seem very much like it just kind of the stuff that they had to cut for whatever reason or another. But for what's there, I had a good time with it.
Well, then $20, what do you say about Mutropolis?
I think it justifies its price. I, like I said, everything that I can complain about with it is more like a quality of life kind of issue. So it's not really something where you'd be like, this breaks it. No, it's great. It plays well. It's beautiful. Its voice acting's great. I liked it. I give it a buy it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is called Kill It With Fire, developed by Cason Donnellan Games, published by Tiny Build, released March 4th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $14.99. Kill It With Fire is a first-person action game about hunting spiders and causing collateral damage. See, this is what you missed out on, Cole. Our friend Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review, and this is what she's got to say. Hey there, SML friends and fam, it's your girl Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Kill It With Fire for the Nintendo Switch, developed by Cason Donnellan Games, and published by Tiny Build Games. You only have one job, see those spiders, kill them. Kill them all and leave their little bodies as a warning to the rest of the spiders. You are a spider exterminator extraordinaire, and you are a force of destruction to be reckoned with to those eight-legged bastards. Let's get on with the review. Small disclaimer, I don't have any major problem with spiders. I operate on a live and let live philosophy with them. Matter of fact, I had a bathroom spider for about 3 months that I named Fred. He was a nice spider. But the spiders in this game are not nice. They're loud, they're fast, they're numerous, and they deserve to be smashed by you in an ever-increasing and surprisingly satisfying amount of ways. As the exterminator extraordinaire, you get to kill these bad boys with variety. Pretty much anything can be picked up in this game, and you can use it to kill the spiders. You'll find and earn other weapons. I was able to find a flamethrower in the form of a lighter and some hairspray, a shotgun, and even some C4, because might as well make sure that nothing's going to escape your righteous fury. There are several types of spiders to take out as well. You have your basic black spiders, your stark white spiders, your pregnant spiders that when killed spawn little spiders, fuck them, and jumping spiders that will creep you out when they jump towards your face, fuck them too. They don't actually hurt you, but it's still squeal-inducing to see those little eight-legged fuckers jump at you like an alien facehugger, fuck them too. She didn't say fuck them, I'm just adding them. That's creative liberty, because seriously, fuck them. In addition to weapons, you can also find upgrades that assist you in your extermination goals. Each of these upgrades you find will help you in different ways, but you only have a certain amount of points to use them, so choose accordingly. One of the things that I like about this game is that if you want to reset the points as mission select, you can do that, and there's no limit or penalty to this. This allows you to play the game in multiple ways, which I dig. In order to satisfy your goals of killing, each level has several objectives for you to complete. As you complete the objectives, or as you kill a certain number of spiders, you unlock more of each level, find secret rooms that contain awesome items, or you'll even find the Arachno Gauntlet, which is a super special challenge that will reward you with awesome items if you're able to complete it. My playthrough, I found it more difficult to actually unlock the gauntlet than to complete it, but different strokes for different folks, I guess. Now, the actual act of killing the spiders is what I take issue with. The controls in this game are loose and slow. These spiders are fairly small and quick, so precision and speed is needed. Unfortunately, the controls will fight you a bit here. I found myself using the basic clipboard to kill most of the spiders because of this. While it's slow, it's also broad, so it gives me a wider and more forgiving lethal area. Also, some of these objectives are just ridiculous. One was to kill two spiders with one shotgun blast. That doesn't sound too bad, except for the fact that when I got the shotgun, there were only two spiders left in the level. Luckily, you don't have to complete all the objectives to clear the level, but you won't be able to get some items if you don't have enough objectives complete, so be aware. Fill it with fire is available right now for $14.99, and should you buy it, yeah, you should definitely buy this one. Once you get used to the controls, it's an incredibly satisfying destructive romp to destroy the bane of your existence, which are spiders. Fuck them. If you have any other banes, this game won't do much to help there, but if you want to kill some spiders in highly creative ways and gain a few chuckles along the way, you can't go wrong here. Sounds good to me.
Fuck spiders.
Did you want that one?
No.
You wouldn't have wanted that one?
I have it on Steam already.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in there.
Fuck them.
Yeah, fuck spiders.
All right. Next up is called Cave Bad, developed by Panda Indie Studio, published by East Asia Soft, released March 3rd on Xbox One for $4.99. Pick up your pickaxe and plenty of bombs as you set forth into treacherous dungeons in pixelated 8-bit style. Set in the same universe as Pity Pit, Cave Bad sees Horatio the Dwarf return for more action-packed exploration, this time dealing with demons from a top-down perspective and using every tool at his disposal against the demons of the underground. Cole, tell us about your time with Cave Bad.
I knew that little motherfucker looked familiar, and I couldn't remember what other game I'd seen him in, and I kept just shrugging and going, it's like a roguelike Dig Dug, and I couldn't explain why I'd played this game before, but not played this game before, and it's because I played Pity Pit. There it is. Yeah, so you play Horatio again, and basically this is like if Dig Dug and Binding of Isaac had a bastard love child. Yeah.
Yeah.
After I think about uttering that sentence, that's the game in a nutshell. 110%. It's procedurally generated. Every time you load that bitch up, it's going to be different. Don't have any complaints about that. I love a good roguelike. It's a little odd concept because you're playing the little dude with his little sickle and just, it is a sickle, right? Matic?
Yeah.
Something like that? I'm going to go with Matic. That's what we call him around here. I'll let the redneck fly.
Never heard of it called that before.
Never heard it called a Matic? Yeah, no. It's a Matic. Anyway, run around, smash the rocks. Though there are demons, you can shoot them in some kind of weird way. I don't know how the logistics of actually like pointing your matic at things and shooting them works, but it works, although you have limited range. There's shops. Sometimes you'll run into a shop and you can buy some upgrades. There's some pretty cool ones hanging around. You almost always need hearts. That's a it doesn't matter what the cool upgrades are. You can't ever get them because you've had to buy hearts. the hitbox is a little iffy. Sometimes it'll get you. Sometimes it won't. It will always get you when you can't afford for it, too.
Yep.
thankfully, if you want the completion, all you got to do is basically just get to the third floor. I had so much fun. I kept going. And then I died.
You got to get further because of the score achievements. Like, you got to get far in the game to get those score achievements.
I will give you a cheat on that because okay. I didn't get far into the game. First off, you don't have a limit on how many bombs you got, so you just blow the fuck up out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And also, the exterior walls in every room, you can blow those up.
Mm.
And then even if it's not an opening, so the rooms have like, you know, each one you go into will have designated openings to go to the next room. But if you blow up one of the closed walls, you basically get to exit the map into a room. These rooms are all the same over and over, although they'll have different enemies in them. But you can just full on go into these rooms and rack up insane amounts of score just blowing up everything in them. I actually hit 12,000 on level one just doing that because I was like, oh yeah, I need that achievement. I forgot about it. And I was like,
yeah, I was just destroying the rocks in the levels and doing it normally.
Yeah, bust the wall. I did it on accident just to see if I could. And then I was like, oh, And then when I discovered what happened there, so some of them too get really creative. Like I kept busting down walls, and eventually I hit an area where I couldn't bust down the walls because there was this weird skull floating around the edges. And then I had to kill every monster in the room to get that skull to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could bust down the wall again. Yeah. And then I just kept going. I was like, where the fuck did you come from? I haven't seen you before. But that's a good way to rack up coins and points.
I will say this is a tougher game for East Asia Soft. Like the first few times I fought the first boss, I just got rolled over.
Really? Like,
hardcore.
Once. And then I was like, oh no, I'm onto you. No,
I knew the pattern. It's just I would do so little damage to hit him. And then the one run, I got a diamond pickaxe. And motherfucker, that changed the game completely. It killed the boss in like four hits.
Yeah. I had explosive.
Drop explosive it, ammo point,
and so that was just blowing through things, and I was like, and I was an evil bitch that was just destroying everything, and I was very happy about it.
Also,
and
then I died. Also happy is me because Latino Heat just dropped 100 biddies.
Fucking yeah!
Fucking yeah! That's right, Purnell? Right, Purnell?
Fucking yeah!
That's right, Purnell. Thank you, Latino Heat. Thank you so much for the biddies. Always good seeing you in chat. Yeah, Cave Bad, $5. What do you think of this thing?
I would give it a fuck it, why not, if it weren't actually good enough to justify buying it. I think it's fine to buy. I had a good time with it.
Yeah, I liked it too. I thought, you know, East Asia Soft has these little tiny pixel art indies, and they seem to be getting more and more fun.
Yeah, they really are. And I love the weird combination. Like, I never would have thought to put something like Dig Dug with something like Binding of Isaac and make a game out of that. And then there it was. And I was like, you are a creative little bastard just lurking around back there. And it kind of makes me sad because it's one of those games that I think a lot of people would pass over, but they would actually genuinely enjoy.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool one. I'm happy I spent my time with it. And for $5, you can't really pass it up.
Mm-hmm.
Good shit.
Yeah.
But Aki's here. Aki, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. And you?
Eh, you know, I was doing good until this fucking show.
Sorry. You know, we could always postpone it if you want.
You got to speak up. You were so quiet.
I was about to say, why you sound like you're down in a barrel?
Probably because I'm at my parents' house and their computer is different from my own. It's a Windows 10, and for some reason I can never get it to fucking put the volume correctly. So I'm like not even an inch away from my mic right
Windows,
now.
Windows and G. That brings up the game bar, and then there's a volume slider for every app.
Don't do it now. You got shit to do.
Yeah.
Fuck with it later. We got a show to do. Final game to talk about tonight is called Retrace Memories of Death, developed by Spider Lily Studios and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released February 24th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $7.99. When a ghost tour goes horribly wrong, Freya and her friends find themselves in a strange and unforgiving alternate world, one that desires their death. Take the role of Freya as she seeks out a way and discovers the ability to rewind time, giving her a chance to test new paths and make different decisions in a bid for their survival. Aki, tell us about Retrace.
Sadly, you pretty much said everything there was to say about the story. This game, if you have a walkthrough, takes about an hour.
Damn.
Maybe. Without one, you're probably looking at maybe 4 or 5 hours. Maybe. Depends on how many times you get yourself killed like a dumbass.
Well, what kind of game is it? Start with that.
It's a little adventure game. I would almost call it a point and click, but it's not really a point and click. But it feels very much like one. You play as Freya and you walk around, you collect things and you try to solve various puzzles throughout the game in order to try and escape from this hellhole that you're locked in with, your three friends, Mia, who wants to be your girlfriend, Owen and Lewis, I think is the last one, who are also a gay couple. And there's a monster that occasionally hunts you down to kill you, and a lot of other traps that can kill you because this is a hellhole made to kill you. In case that wasn't clear from Hellhole earlier. You also find a mysterious girl in this dungeon. You just try to get out. And occasionally you die, so you switch to you start off with one character, and you get to choose which character you go with. And then eventually you find a point where you can't continue because you don't have enough information. So then you switch to another character, and you work with that character until you figure out more information and you can't get anywhere. And you just keep doing that until you've solved everything and you've gotten through this locked door, the main locked door in the dungeon. And then you do some more freaky deaky shit. And it has two endings, which aren't impacted by anything you do in the game. You just decide at the end whether you escape with your friends or whether you choose to stay and your friends leave without you. And that's really kind of all there is. The puzzles are mostly logic puzzles. Like one of the first ones, it tells you about a family that dies, and you have to figure out which one of the caskets isn't going to kill you if you try to open it. And you use that. You use the poem that you read to figure that out. Things like that are what this is filled with. They're not particularly difficult. They can stump you for a little bit, but they're not that hard. Yeah.
Well, since pretty simple, so $8 on this one, what do you think?
Totally. I think it was pretty fun. I totally support it for $8. Hell yeah.
Cool. Sounds like two winners from East Asia Soft.
Yeah, they make good games.
Yeah, I like East Asia Soft. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Now they need to bring Rainbow Skies to Xbox. I've been saying that for years. Do it, East Asia Soft. I dare you. Bring it on. Bring it on. All right, that is it for this episode. Aki, thanks for being here. Cole, thanks for finally returning. We've missed you so much. It's good to hear you.
Don't lie to me.
Yeah, I was fine with her being gone. It gave me more games. It gave me choices of games. I haven't had that in a while.
Never again.
Back to status quo.
Yeah, fuck.
Thanks again to Jacob for being here doing his thing, and thanks one more time to Tim, Matt, and Big Adam, the Wrestlecast crew coming on. AEW happens tomorrow night. Check that out. Gonna be a good time. Does anyone have any final words to end the show? Good words. Good words. Good talk. The Butcher and the Blade.